the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza Hillman, and this is my podcast. Somehow you have found me. Maybe you were playing a Ouija board and it spelled out Approaching the Natural, and so there was some sort of divine intervention that moved your hand to the play button on your little device there. Or you've been here before and your Ouija board experience happened maybe 125 episodes ago. I don't know. I don't know each of you individually that I can speak to that. But I am glad that you're here. And this podcast is my weekly podcast, and it's a show that I use as a way to communicate my philosophy of health and happiness. I want to be very clear, if you're just joining me, that this is not a nutrition podcast. I am a certified nutritionist, but it's not a nutrition podcast. It's not a fitness podcast. It's not any one kind of thing. It is a way to approach your life. It really is a philosophy-based podcast. It's about ideas and things that relate to how to better negotiate the modern world, how to leave your door in the morning in a place that allows you to make choices that don't actually even seem like choices eventually, that are just things that represent who you are, what you stand for, and you just do more of those things more than you do making choices that aren't you, and removing that kind of conflict. There's a lot of weight lifted off people's shoulders when they enter their lives this way, and so on and so forth. So it is about that, and it's just, you know, my small steps approach ultimately is how to implement the knowledge that I hope to bring you every week about things like food and fitness and everything else. But it's really under the umbrella of using that knowledge, but using my approach as a way to implement that knowledge. Okay, I've said it many a moon, which is that knowledge is a very small percentage of living healthy and happy in the modern world. It is almost entirely about implementation. And that is the that's the deal. And sometimes knowledge can be, or our quest for knowledge can actually be a distraction to us to figure out a better way to live. We keep wanting to learn more and more at the expense of actually learning this, how to implement change, how to affect our lives, how to live better. That's a knowledge in and of itself. But we go to the facts about all the vitamins and minerals in food. And eventually it just gets to the point where it's like, do you really need to know more about nutrition unless you're a nutritionist? Do you really need to know more? Or what next level of knowledge could you implement, could you learn that helps you eat better, right? Okay. So as I take a sip of my brandy, whoa, boom, that's what I'm talking about. Here's why, you guys. If you're just joining me, look, I don't know what to tell you other than go back and listen to old episodes. And really, if you've been here before, you know the rule on that. Go back and listen to old episodes. You can immerse yourself in the Approaching the Natural podcast. That's how that happens. I am on vacation right now, literally in a little cabin with my in-laws and my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law and their two kids. And we got a house full of people in a place called Donner Pass, which is about the Donner family that got trapped here sometime in the 1800s on their way out west and ended up having to eat their own dead. Listen, I've got a lot of good news coming, so I'm going to start out with the bar very low, and I can't go anywhere but up, right? Okay, sort of like the Keanu Reeves of podcasting today. Just setting the bar so low that if I just say hello and it doesn't freak you out, it's just like best actor award, okay? Boom. So we're going to start with a little Donner party action, and we're going to work our way up to small stepping. Okay, that's the trajectory of this here episode. Glad you are with me. Good. But I am on vacation, and I thought to myself, I could not do the podcast. I'm on vacation. I could not do the podcast. But then I thought, no, I'm going to do the podcast. These are the things that float into the vast space between my ears, most of it empty, by the way. And so there's just a lot of stuff swirling around there. I'm going to do the podcast anyway. Okay, but I'm going to have a brandy. There's the little differentiation there. Okay, I don't even have mushroom coffee with me. Didn't even bring it. That's how off the charts, you know, out of the ordinary this is for me. But anyway, we just wanted to get to the snow for a couple days and went some, you know, sledding with the kids today. Just the fun stuff. I am shooting a little video, during this time, not to highlight my vacation. It's not a home video. Good. If you would like, I think you should visit my YouTube channel. And while you're there, I think you should subscribe to my YouTube channel where I post videos related to also the things that I talk about in this podcast. It's like a multifaceted, just hitting it from all areas. I'm going to do a rock opera on Small Steps coming soon and also a radio play. So there's a few things coming down the pike. Randy the Mechanic will be one of the stars of that. So more on that later. What else do I have to say? Good. Thank you for the iTunes reviews. Got a couple more this week. Thank you very, very much. It really makes a big difference. If you haven't reviewed and you have enjoyed the work that I do here, pop over to iTunes there and throw down a stars and some, you know, words about it. It doesn't take much time, but it really makes a big difference to me and this podcast maintaining its upward trajectory of success, but it's not huge, but it's an upward trajectory. It's never going to be huge. I don't want to say never. I just know maybe it's the older I get. The older I get, I just realize that for whatever reason this happened to me when I was a full-time musician, I'm not a mass market personality. Don't know why. Don't care. I don't care. I want to do things that are authentic and true to me, that make sense to me, and they're going to appeal to not very many people. And that's okay, because the people that I'm getting emails from are freaking getting it, and they're understanding it, and they're using it, and it's in helping their lives. And I read the reviews on iTunes, and overwhelmingly people are getting what I'm bringing. Okay? Okay. So that's just kind of what I'm not fighting that anymore. Okay? Good. So here I'm in this back room and kind of hunched over a microphone. And, you know, I'm trying to, I may have to pause it if there's noise, because I'm literally separated from everybody else by doors that I think are made out of balsa wood. That's, I can't tell. I'm not sure. I'm not a woodologist, but they're so thin that it's a little bit scary. SidGarzaHillman.com is my website. You can go there to put your email address in the upper right-hand corner, even, depending on how you sway politically. And get a first chapter of my book, Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto. You can buy Approaching the Natural podcast merchandise there, which is another way to support the podcast. Or the most overt way is to shoot the old donate button there. And I got a nice donation last week, though, from England, from the kingdom over there. And that was very sweet. I didn't even know they could do like the currency is so different there. They do theirs by weight. Just like a pound of something is a thing. They have to. That's why they're strong. The English are strong because they carry pounds of things around to buy stuff. It's shocking. And I'm going to be in Marshall, Texas, April 1st through the 3rd. Few people I'm going to be seeing there because I'm getting emails, which is cool. Nice to be able to see people in person. And also on my website, you can get a signed copy of my book. A custom sign, not just signed. Like, I'll write what you want me to write. That's kind of cool, right? Edinburgh Veg Fest, August 20th and 21st, and the World Veg Fest in October. A couple more things down the pike that I will hopefully have news on fairly soon. So keep your ears open for that. Boom. Okay, so let's get to business real quick, I head up the Wellness Center at the Stanford Inn, and there's cool retreats coming and a bunch of like enhancement package kind of things. You can like stay any time of year and throw down a little wellness package on top of your stay that's a private retreat. Most of them, in fact, almost all of them involve me in some capacity. So that's could be fun for you. So just book a time any time of year and throw down a nutrition package or a cooking package or a gardening package or a yoga package and just write on this private retreat. Boom. Good, right? Mm. Okay. What else do I got here? I know what I'm going to talk about. I'm just kidding. I have notes. I know exactly what I'm going to talk about. Integrated exercise. I mention it every week. If you're just joining me, it is a way of, what it says is integrating movement. My opinion is that we evolved with movement as an integrated part of our lives. We weren't up until very recently. So the idea of exercise is a very new development in our in the lives of the human species. In fact, for many people still in the world today, they don't exercise. And these are people who move their bodies, by the way. I mean, there's a ton of us who don't exercise and don't move our bodies, but there's a ton of us in the world that just get up And our lives are such that we move our bodies to do the things of life. Well, for most of us, I don't want to say most, for many of us in the modern world, movement has been extracted out of our lives because we don't have to move anymore. So we don't have to move to find food. We don't have to move to get anywhere, really. I mean, we walk a little bit to get to a subway or a bus or a little bit to get to our car. But the majority of our movement is done by a machine that we invented in some facet. And so movement and food is, by the way, transported using those machines as well. So we're not out there finding stuff. We don't have to like figure out a shelter or even build a shelter or even put up a tent, you know, at night. These are not the things that of the lives of the developed world. Yes, there are people who work construction sites or who are working on road crews that are moving throughout their day, and that is what that is. But for many of us, we don't. So for me, I do comparatively a decent amount of movement. I'm up and downstairs at the wellness center quite a bit during the day. And I run in the morning, but that's, a partitioned time to exercise is a very new development in the human existence. And I love that time that I do in the morning. I've talked about it a million times. I love running. It's my meditation. It's everything else. But there was a part of me that thought, well, I'd like to incorporate a little bit of strength training, but man, I don't want to give up my morning runs. I don't want to have to go to a gym because that's miserable for me. I don't enjoy that, frankly, but I like the health of what resistance training does, strength training does. I was doing a decent amount of it when I was training for my ultramarathons last year to great success. I wanted to continue that. And what I did was figure out, okay, well, how can I make this happen? The first thing I did was incorporate it into my runs. So I would, at every mile, I would drop down and do some push-ups. And that worked okay. It wasn't the most enjoyable thing, and it was kind of a pain in the ass, frankly. And it just kind of broke up my runs and it made me have to pay attention. That's what it was. It was annoying to me. I couldn't check out like I do when I run, either being fully present on a trail or just, you know, letting the mind just go or breathing or whatever. I had to sort of pay attention and like, okay, this is the mile mark and that kind of thing. It's just not my bag anymore. Anymore is the operative word there, because more on that in a few minutes. Anyway, so I thought, well, how can I incorporate this without having to upset the thing that I enjoy most, which is the running in the morning? Well, the answer I had was, during the day, is there a thing that I could do that was so minimal in time and effort that I could jump down about every hour and do it? And I started with 5 push-ups every hour for about 6 hours during the day, 11 to 4. Later, as I added more and more incrementally, if you're just joining me, this is what I'm talking about, small steps. I built and built and built. So the reason I'm explaining that is because I was going back on some of my videos for some reason to look at the, I don't even know what I was looking at. And I found my integrated exercise video. It's on my YouTube channel. You should check it out. And I maybe was looking at it just for the purpose of talking about integrated exercise, but I posted that thing 7 months ago. So 7 months ago, I posted a video on integrated exercise. At that time, if you watch that video, I'm doing 11 push-ups. I think I say that I'm doing 10, but I was already up to 11. 11 push-ups for 6 hours of the day. You know, 11 push-ups on the hour, 6 times a day. That was 7 months ago. 11. I started at 5. So figure by the time 7 months ago rolled around, I had already been doing this about 2 months. So I'm figuring around 9 months ago is when I started my integrated exercise. Now I'm up to 23 push-ups and 23 squats. At the time I did the video, I wasn't doing squats, just push-ups. I'm up to 23 push-ups, 23 squats, 7 times a day. So that's 7 sets of each on the hour. That's 161 of each. 161 push-ups, 161 squats most days. But here's the thing. That's a massive amount of push-ups for me and a massive amount of squats. Do you know that what I am most happy about is not the amount that I'm doing? What I am overwhelmingly most happy about is this fact. I have been doing this thing for 9 months. That is such a much bigger accomplishment in my mind than the amount. In fact, if I were still doing 5 push-ups 6 times a day, I would still be just as happy as I am right now. It has very little to do with the amount that I'm doing. Yes, I'm getting stronger. Yes, 23 push-ups is about the same effort as 5 was back then. But it's really neither here nor there. It's that I have stuck with something for 9 months. It is that I have integrated and come at a behavior in an increment so small that it was too easy for me to not, too easy for me. I could not do it. It was so easy. And I just timed myself again for the purposes of you guys doing 23 pushups and 23 sit-ups. I put 23 pushups and 23 squats. I'm still under a minute. It takes less than a minute to do 23 pushups and 23 squats, less than 1 minute of every hour for only 7 hours of the day. I spend less than 1 minute pulling this off. It's massive. But the reason why I'm able to do this is because it is so minimally intrusive that I'm able to pull this off for 9 months. I've done something for 9 months. That's huge. To me, that accomplishment is way bigger than a short spurt of, you know, going to a gym and pulling off way more weight and maybe gaining way more muscle mass, but then burning out after 2 months and stopping, or after 1 month. 9 months of something. I mean, what can you, and this is not like, what can you look at, do dip, dip, but I mean, like, are there things in your life that you started 9 months ago? This is I've done an episode called The Long View. This is the way of thinking about your life, of whatever you start today, is it something you can do? I've said this before. When you add a step, ask yourself, is this something you can do for the rest of your life? Is this something you can do for the rest of your life? You may not, but could you? And when I started at 5 pushups 6 times a day, I thought, yeah, I could do this the rest of my life. Most days, no problem. I mean, 5 pushups would take 10 seconds. It's nothing, right? Literally 10 seconds. So no problem. So as you go forward and progress, remember that, because what happens is we don't ask that question of, could I do this the rest of my life? We don't ask that question. And the fact of the matter is, because we don't ask that question, we often take on too much, because we think, well, I could pull off 10. And at the time, I could have pulled off 10. I probably could have pulled off over 10 pushups 6 times a day. But it would have been stressful enough for me at that point, given the strength level that I was at that point, that I would have burnt out on it. I would have burnt out. So if you're just joining me, this is the way you approach adding behaviors. This is a way you, if we all want to live as best we can. We all want to be happy and we all want to be healthy. And most of us, by the way, to be frank, we know enough to know. We know that exercise is good for us. We generally, yes, there's a differing opinions about protein and blah, you know, all that crap. Sure. But we kind of have a general idea, most of us, about how to eat healthier. Maybe not the perfect diet, but I'd be willing to bet that 99.9% of people that are listening to this podcast, whether you eat healthy every day or not, know enough to know what it would look like to eat healthy. You basically know enough to improve your health significantly. The question only is, can you pull it off? Can you pull off that change? Can you implement change enough that 9 months from now you go, yeah, I've been freaking doing this for 9 months. That's the ticket, you guys. And I hope that's why you come here every week, as a reminder, because I hope that it's helping you sort of craft your own step list and do this bad boy. Okay? Remember what I said last week. Every list, everything on your steps list, it's a to-do list, but everything on there is essential, because it's the thing you're doing that maybe you're planning at least to be doing 9 months, a year from now. It's huge, huge. This isn't going to buy bread at the grocery store. That's a one-off. This is most days for a very long time. Most days for a very long time. Okay? At least some of the things in your life should satisfy that criteria. Yes, you might do a diet, like I said, and it's fun, everything else. But some of the things is what I'm advocating. If you want to do diets, great. And you want to lose weight super fast, fine. But in addition to that, maybe throw down a step that is taking a deep breath 3 times a day. Maybe a step is doing something like integrated exercise. In addition to some of these more quick fixy one-off 30-day kinds of things, set some of your long view steps as well. It's a really good balance, you guys, and it's what I talk about every week. So boom, moving on, right? Okay, good. On that note, we were staying at Donner Pass, like I said, is where the people eat the people. And I just can't stress that enough, you guys. I mean, that's a great protein source. By the way, the best, highest quality protein source, not best, but highest quality, would be human flesh, just so you know. It's like the perfect protein design, because the amino acids that we formed into proteins in our body for our own muscles, we'd get those, right? So yeah, have at it. Okay. And so we're at this little place getting a little drink and some, frankly, some French fries. Look, I'm on vacation. Okay. So don't judge me. And actually, go judge the crap out of me, because I don't do French fries most of the time. It's a most of the time thing. More on that later. So I'm at this little lodgy thing called Sugar Bowl, and the kids are having you know, orange juice, and we're sitting there and we're all chatting. It's really fun, and we're as a group. And so I asked this person working there. I said, "Hey, can you take a picture of us?" So she says, "Sure." So I hand her my phone, and she's standing up on this chair taking a picture of our group. And as she's about to take the picture, she looks at the phone and says, "I swear to you, this is hilarious." She goes, "Somebody is supposed to do squats and push-ups," is what she says, because my freaking alarm went off on my phone, which reminds me to do squats and push-ups. And I said, that would be me. But I wasn't doing my integrated exercise today. Okay, it's my day off, but it's on my phone. It goes off every hour, and you know, it's what it is. But anyway, so she's like, "Somebody needs to be doing squats and push-ups." I was like, "That's it. It's me. I should be. But can I have another margarita?" Okay. Well, I just looked up and just saw the most horrific piece of art on the wall of this room. My God, it's woo. Okay, so back to business. I've got actually another kind of funny. There's a kind of couple funny things that happened on this trip, and so this one is this one's a good one. Okay, this actually happened. So we showed up a couple nights ago, and we had to go to the supermarket to get some stuff, like, you know, bottled water and a bunch of stuff. Okay, so I take my son, and we are standing in line, and the lines are horrendous. I've never been to a busier supermarket. I'm not joking. And this is in a little town called Truckee. This is not in Los Angeles. It was crazy. It's because it's a holiday weekend and everybody's showing up at once. So the lines were down the aisles. We were there for almost an hour, and we got four things in the basket. We were there for an hour. 15 minutes of that was trying to find a parking space. So we're standing in line, and these two men, and they've got their wives and kids, but they're having this conversation about electric car chargers. So I'm just hanging out. We're standing in this super freaking long line. I'm standing there with my son. And so I chime in because they're talking about these Tesla chargers. I don't have a Tesla, but I work at the Stanford Inn, and they've got Tesla chargers. So I chime in because I've got nothing better to do. I'm kind of hanging out. And I go, "Oh, yeah, I work at a wellness center at an inn, and they've got Tesla chargers. Those are pretty cool." And the guy goes, "Oh, what inn is that?" And I said, "Oh, it's called the Stanford Inn. It's on the Mendocino Coast." He goes, "Oh, I've heard of that place. I listened to this podcast. It's called the Rich Roll Podcast. And there was a guy on there once, one of these interviews that I heard, and he was talking about that place." And I go, "Yeah, that was me." He's like, "What?" I go, "I was the guy on the Rich Roll Podcast." He's like, "You're Joe. What's your name?" I told him my name. He's like, "Oh my God, like, that's so, I mean, it was so random and so weird." He's like, "Can I have your card?" I gave him my card, like, super nice guy. But the great thing about it is, so he's like asking me, you know, what I do. And I said, "I'm the nutritionist there. I run the wellness center, blah, blah, blah." And he, you know, he kind of remembered, he did remember me, obviously, from the interview. In my basket, okay, in my basket, I've got the following, okay? Carton of soy milk. Coconut water, okay? Bottled water, and Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries. Boom. End of story. Checkmate. Frickin' Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries. And so there was this beautiful moment where I'm talking about the thing and the pot, you know, like the nutrition thing, and just there's this like subtle sort of glance down at my cart, at my basket, to be like, well, what? I don't know if it was on a conscious level, but he was probably just like, "Oh yeah, what's he getting?" And there it was. Crab and Crunch with Crunch Berries. Listen, I'm on vacation, and my kid, if you're just joining me, you're going to probably turn this off because you're going to be all militant-y about it. And you shouldn't be, because that's the message of this podcast, right? No militancy. The magic and the effectiveness of this is establishing a most of the time, whereby you set how you want to live, who you are. And if that's somebody who does something 100% of the time and perfectly all the time, you may be setting yourself up for failure or being unhappy. The idea is to set your normal so that most of the time you're living great, and then you can sort of let loose. That's why early on in this podcast, I would purposefully have a single malt scotch while I was recording the podcast and talk about it. I mean, I wouldn't have it and not talk about it. I talked about it. And there were people who go, I don't understand why you have, like, why, how can you drink scotch while you're doing a health and happiness podcast? It's like, because we all do things that are super unnatural in the modern world. And we can either try to be super nutty nut-nut about one area and never do anything ever. And I'm talking about health and happiness here. I'm not talking about ethical things. Okay. I'm, like I've said, I'm militant about, I don't kill people, even a little bit, not okay by me. But in the health and happiness realm, having a little bit of oil now and then, does it make it healthy? Of course not. But there are lots of things we do that's unhealthy, and we can get very caught up in trying to achieve some sort of artificial human constructed idea of what doing something perfectly is, and that is an all-consuming way to live. However, that was too much of a mouthful for me to explain to this guy, but I did make a very feeble and poor attempt at doing so. I was like, oh, the Crunch Berry, see, we're on vacation, and my kid, I grew up with Crunch Berry, and my kids were curious about, and so finally I just gave up. There's just nothing, there's just no making that right. I just said, yeah, I was thinking how great it would have, even better it would have been if I had had just Crunch Berries and single malt scotch. Just if I just had both of those things in the basket, it just would have been perfection. And also for me, that, by the way, is what I call Thursday night. Single malt scotch and Crunch Berries, sometimes together. Have you guys ever had a bowl of Crunch Berries with single malt scotch as the quote milk end quote? Well, don't knock it till you try it. Very nice guy. Don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'm on freaking vacation. I don't know what to tell you. The last time I had Crunch Berries, by the way, last year at this time, in this exact place, not this exact place I'm staying right now, but the town, because last year in the snow, I got the kids a box of Crunch Berries. Now, by getting the kids a box, what I really mean is that we come home, I get half the box, and they split the other half. My wife does not like Crunch Berries. That's in my opinion, it's a serious character flaw of her. We have spent thousands of dollars over the years in marriage counseling just for me to somewhat get to the point where I can tolerate the fact that she does not totally appreciate the brilliance of Captain Crunch Crunch Berries. But again, I'm tolerating it. I'm trying to be a better person. It's who I am. Deep down, I'm somebody who tolerates people who don't like Crunch Berries. I would say that's a definition. But even that's a most of the time. So sometimes I just can't not express myself about how crazy that is. Okay. Back to business, you guys. Okay. So here's the what'd you do last week? What did you do? No, you're not in trouble. But did you start a steps list? Did you think about starting a steps list? Did you watch my YouTube video on Just Ask the Question? That's a newly posted video. If you haven't seen that yet, go look at that. Did you ask the question? Did you find a moment to ask the question of who you are, of how you want to live? Was it weird to even ask the question of who am I? Is it weird because you think you have an answer? Because of how you've lived your entire life? I don't care if you're 18 or 85, but do you think you have an answer of who you are based on how you've been? Is that what you think defines who you are? How you've been acting? Because I got another thing coming, and that is that it's not what defines you at all. It may be a manifestation of you. You may be living mostly like who you are deep down. Fine, good. But it's not what defines you. You define you. You define you. Your parents defined you. Now you define you. Your friends when you were kids defined you. Now you define you. Now you decide who you are. And then you say, how much of what you're living in the world is a manifestation of that or not? Pretty simple equation, you guys. Here's the trick, and this is why I did a whole 5-minute video on it. Because we don't ask the question. We make an assumption about who we are based 100% on how we've been living. We make an assumption of how we eat based on how we've been eating. We say, I've just was raised on that, and I just love that. That's just what I love. And you may enjoy it, but that could be 100% in conflict with how you actually see yourself and what you value, which is somebody who eats healthy food most of the time. or all the time if you're more militant. Me, most of the time. Sometimes it's crunch berries. Now, I make sure to get a good proportion of the actual crunch berries there because that's the fruit, and I'm a huge fan of fruit. You know that I am, you guys. I wouldn't get plain Captain Crunch because there's no freaking berries in it. That would be very unhealthy to do. If you're in Germany and England and all the places that aren't the U.S., I don't know what problems you guys had as a culture that you didn't have Captain Crunch or crunch berries. That's not my problem. Okay, probably had something to do with World War II. Okay, back to business. Did you ask the question? Did you take a moment? And if you didn't, this is your week. This is your time. Are you in the car right now? Push pause on the podcast. And I'm not joking for a second, okay? If you're on a treadmill or a car, only those two things. No, if you're listening to this podcast and you can, hit pause on the podcast. I'll wait for you and say to yourself, name three things that are you. And just play the game with me for a second. It has nothing to do with how you've been living. It has nothing to do with what you had for breakfast this morning. It has nothing to do with what you did or did not do for exercise yesterday. Ask yourself, are you somebody who eats healthy food most of the time? Are you somebody who is at and maintains a healthy weight? Are you somebody who has a happy marriage? Are you somebody who loves their job? Are you somebody who lives in this kind of house, in this kind of place? Oh, but Sid, that's material. I don't care, because I think that it's how you want to live your life. We can play the games of discounting things, and we can play the games of saying it's just words. But to me, defining who you are first and foremost, I talked about it last week with the born identity. This is the thing. Of course, the born identity is becoming this more and more in the world, but it starts with you first. And that's the challenge every week. So did you do that? And if you didn't, hit pause and ask that question and spend 30 seconds tops and then hit play on the podcast again. Okay, I'll wait. I'll just have a sip of my brandy while you're doing that. Okay, you're back. Nice. Good job. You're somebody who wears a red hat most of the time. Okay, not where I would have gone. Not where I would have gone. I think it's a good start. Okay, it's a good start. It's better than bloomers. Okay, good. See how you improve. Okay. Shall we, what else do we have? Can we discuss a little bit of the subject of this week's podcast? Yes, we can. All right, here we go. And by the way, I'm shooting a video on is recovery. I've talked about this before in the podcast if you're just joining me, but recovery is where it's at. When you talk to athletes and everything, of course, they're talking about recovery. I'm not talking about athletes. I'm talking about life. I thought it was appropriate to discuss recovery in a video while on vacation. And the idea, of course, I don't want to give it away too much, is that this 2 days that I'm going away does very little by way of recovery. We've got to figure out a way to crack the nut of recovery while still living in the modern world, because frankly, we're not resting enough. We're not treating ourselves well enough. We're not recovering from the stress that we experience virtually every single day in our lives. And that stress can be not eating well most days, even though we have relatively stress-free lives, which most of us is not a reality. But we're not nourishing our bodies, and we're creating stress on our bodies by the way that we treat our bodies. Okay, but more on that in the video. I'll talk about that probably next week. All right. The subject of this week's podcast is somewhat related to last week, where I talked about the born identity of in a sense birthing a new version of you in the world, but that's wholly based on how you define yourself. It's over time that manifestation better. And I was thinking about this today, like, I'm getting a little off topic here, and this could be my age too, but I am so, when I listen to people talk, and I do, and I'm always looking for new information, and I'm researching, and I'm just looking at stuff. It feeds the podcast, it feeds my practice, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm always assessing the person who is saying the words. I think as I've heard a lot of stuff, I'm 47. I'm not like, 140. I'm sitting on a, thing with a lot more hair than I have now. But I'm 47 years old, and I've been doing this a long time, years before I even went back to school to become a certified nutritionist, looking things, listening to people, and trying to, get some wisdom in the world. There's some amazing people in the world. But it comes back to that example quote that I love by Albert Schweitzer, which is example isn't the main thing in influencing others. It's the only thing. And I guess at 47 years old, that has become more true for me, and it is more true for me day to day, where I have very little tolerance. It's like the BS indicator, like the BS radar. I have very little tolerance for somebody's words who are not living the words. And one thing I can always look at is, and this is going to sound shallow, you guys, so freaking bear with me, is the health of the body of the person. Because I can hear people talk about stress, and I can hear people talk about, you know, nutrition, and I can hear people talk about all these kinds of things. But I believe that the manifestation of somebody's internal conflict or the manifestation of somebody's internal happiness is their body. And the body speaks through the way that it is manifesting in the world. So people who have low energy and people who are overweight or too underweight or out of balance in some way, they're not bad people. It's just that I'm a lot less willing to listen to somebody's advice on how I can live my life better if they can't even follow their own advice. This happened last week, and this person's not listening to the podcast, never will. But once in a while, we get people who, practitioners of some sorts, coming to the wellness center. I'm the programs director there, and they want to offer their services at the wellness center, and it's fantastic. And they'll sit down, they'll sort of tell me what they do, and it can be a whole bunch of different kinds of things. I mean, anywhere from, you know, psychotherapy or different kinds of things like that to yoga to Tai Chi, all these kinds of things. But I have to tell you, there's people who have been doing something for 20 years to, and they probably are good and they probably are helping people, but there's part of me who is very hesitant to bring on somebody who cannot use their own advice to their own health and happiness. They cannot put into play, again, here it comes, guys, it's freaking implementation. If they're having problems implementing, they are most likely brilliant. They're most likely so much more knowledgeable than I am on a whole host of subjects. But if they cannot implement, then I'm much more hesitant to bring somebody on at a wellness center that I believe in and have a huge part in saying is to help people actually implement stuff. Again, I can teach you what you need to know about nutrition in an hour and a half class. But the implementation is where I spend most of my energy, and obviously come here every week for 126 episodes now to talk about essentially mostly implementation with some knowledge thrown in there, of course. Okay, so that's kind of, I don't know why I got off on that, but just what that is, I'm just putting it out there. Okay, the subject of this week's podcast is there's no I in team. Now, what I did was, look, I'm not going to say it was phenomenal. It must be the Crunch Berries talking because that was it was very clever. What I did is I said there's no I in team, but then I spelled team with an I. Did you guys notice that? Did you know? Did you? You're welcome. I want to talk about relationships. Okay, this is a little bit of an offshoot from last week where I was talking about born identity, focusing more on our own identity, but also our relationship with ourselves. And I also touched about how when we change ourselves and become healthier and happier, take small steps, et cetera, how we can cause disruption and dysfunction in other people's lives because the role we play in their lives is part and parcel to their normal. Like this, I talked about the comfort zone. Like they're comfortable with what they know about you and everything else in the world. And when something gets shaken up in their world, it causes the disruption for them. They become more present. They become more aware of stuff because it's not all of a sudden like it was yesterday. I want to go a little bit farther this week and talk about our actual relationships. Not our identity and how it shakes up other people or our identity, how it changes our own relationship with ourselves, but how the social order affects our health and happiness, how the relationships we have with people in our lives can be helpful or the opposite. They can actually facilitate or inhibit growth, happiness, health. And what I was thinking about is how what I just was talking about before, which is how our identities are sometimes defined by, or at least by us, by what we've always been doing, right? So we think that that's what defines us. So we think because I've always been eating this, that therefore that's who I am. And of course, like I just said, I argue that's not the case. But relationships are often defined the same way. We have relationships in our lives with families and friends and coworkers, and we think that how they've always been is the defining and unchangeable aspect of that relationship. Well, that's just the dynamic we have. There's nothing that we don't even ask that question of what is that relationship? What could it be? What do I want it to be? What do I say that it is, even though it wasn't this way yesterday? My relationship with my spouse, my partner, is this way. We communicate this way. And that can be in conflict with how it was and how it's always been. But we've taken how it's always been to be how it is. And it doesn't have to be that way in our minds. And I think, again, like how we ask who we are, and that's who we are, I think, deep down, I think we can ask the same question about our relationships. How is my relationship? Don't think about how it was yesterday and the things that are in the world about it, but how is it? How is it? And essentially, guys, it's how you want it to be. If you don't talk to your spouse and you never discuss anything and you never get, it's kind of a shallow relationship, maybe that's not making you happy. And you may not be able to quantify that except to say, what if you asked yourself a question? And what if you said, how do I want my relationship to be? And then go one further and say in the first person present tense, my relationship is this way with my partner, spouse. We talk about things. We express our feelings. We don't, you know, harbor anger and store up anger and resentment. We don't compartmentalize. We don't have any issues that are festering between us, even though you might, but that's not you in the relationship, in the context of the relationship. So essentially what I'm talking about is you in now in the context of the relationship and how essential that is. The fact of the matter is one thing that chaps my hide, and there's a couple things that I'm going to talk about that chap my hide in this episode, is the idea people can't change. And I 100% disagree because I've seen this. I've seen people change. In fact, what I was thinking about in this idea is do this little exercise for me this week, okay? Look back at a time in your life. And again, you can do this if you're 18 or if you're 80. And those are the only two. I think my demographic is like either 18-year-olds or 80-year-olds. So there's probably nobody in between anyway. So this works out perfectly. Look back a long time ago. If you're 18, maybe it was when you were 17 and a half. If you're 80, maybe it was when you were two. Look back at you in high school, at you in grade school. There's a 99.9% chance that you were a very different person than you are now. You were into different stuff. You socialized differently. You had different friends. You had different goals. Maybe you wanted to be a doctor and you ended up being a freaking, Scientologist. I think that's a person who studies science. Isn't that right? And so you were probably a very different person. So the point is that I'm trying to make is you're a different person now than you were then. You're going, well, this is very trite, Sid. Good. Can you just freaking bear with me? You're very judgmental this week. I'm not happy about that. Okay. I'm the one that's on vacation right now. You need to be agreeing with me because I'm trying to freaking relax here. The point that I'm trying to make is you changed because of what? Because of time. You changed. You're in a different place in your life now than you were 20 years from now, 20 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. But substantial amount of time has changed. I think you can probably find a time in your lives, each of you listening to this, that you were very different or substantially different than the person you are now. And I don't mean that you have kids and you didn't have kids before, but I mean the things that you were looking to do in your life, the things that you maybe even valued, the things that, you know, you just were, you would say, boy, I was a very different person back then. The point is that given enough time, people do change. People do change. Often like politically, like you'll see like people who were like, you know, staunch liberals when they were younger and then they hit their 50s and 60s and they become super conservative. I mean, these are like value-based decisions and value-based changes. But the point I'm making is, again, back to the sort of long view idea, is that their lives are very different now. They have changed. But we expect a change, of course, to happen overnight. We expect a change to be associated with, of course, a diet or a quick fix or something like that. But we can make changes. We can absolutely make changes given enough time and given enough clarity of goal. We can make changes that are real. And I mean real. And I've seen it. So into the context of, again, the team, the relationships that we have in our lives, the social network, like I call in my book. People can change in those relationships. But what I'm going to talk about here, and hopefully this will be not a huge surprise, is that it always comes down to you. And I think that if we look back and possibly, it's hard to parse out, but probably other people had a hand in the changes that happened in our own lives to ourselves. And if we're looking to change the relationships that we're in for the better, it always will come down to you. And I believe that while I do believe that people can change, I also believe that it is up to us to change ourselves, which will then affect the change in others, at least as it relates to us. And here's what I mean by that. Oftentimes I've worked with couples. Well, I've worked with individuals that are in a relationship. Sometimes those relationships are supportive to the person that I'm working with, like the spouse or partner wants to help them, or they're like into the idea. Sometimes not. Sometimes the opposite. Sometimes the spouse or partner's like not only not helpful and into it, but like almost threatened by it, like I talked about last week. But in ourselves, we can create change through, I believe, my small steps approach to affect change in that person, but it involves us becoming stronger as individuals. It involves us becoming more confident as individuals. And the clearer we become with ourselves about who we are and how we want to live and how we want our relationships to be, the better we are able to communicate those wants and desires to the people in our lives. Ultimately, it does come down to our strength and our confidence and our clarity. It really, really does. And we may not change that person to, in terms of their behaviors and what they're going to do for ourselves, but I do believe that we can change that person, especially as it relates to how they treat us, how they relate to us, how supportive they are of us. Yes, we can't force somebody to take care of themselves. That's their deal. And oftentimes I've had to tell people like, look, they'll come to me to work with them and they'll be like, look, and I want my husband to start. And I'm like, no, this is not about your husband. If he wants to do something, he'll do that. This is about you and me. And the more you make this about you in your own life, yes, your husband's going to be in a different place because you're going to be in a different place. Something's going to give. And that's so it always is about you. But the fact of the matter is, and I almost called this episode Junk Bonds. I thought that would have been clever too. Because I think that the idea of asking the question about our own lives also is the same in our relationships. And what I mean by that is this. I think it is okay, and actually I think it's more than okay. I think it is part of the picture of living healthy and happy in our lives to assess our relationships, to understand that the relationships we have, because we're a social animal, play an absolutely profound part in our health and happiness. And that, like asking ourselves of how we want to live, saying, are these relationships that I have, are they supportive? Are they positive? Do they add to the happiness in my life? Are they there because they've always been there? Are they there because, well, that's just what I do. I spend time with this person because I just always have. I grew up with them and they're just part of my lives. Is that fit for you right now? Is that a thing that enhances your life? Now, again, here I'll a little disclaimer, okay? Because you're going to be like, well, I'm not going to, you know, break up. I'm not saying change anything major. I'm saying ask the question, okay? So here's my like legal disclaimer. This podcast in no way represents an actual recommendation to end your friendship with Christy, since she comments on your weight and when you have coffee with her and is forthwith more of an annoyance heretofore referred to as pain in the ass, et cetera, et cetera. Subsection 4 on Plan B of the Medicare plan. Okay, there's my legalese. I'm not telling you to break up anything. I'm not telling you to tell Christy to go to hell. You might want to tell her to go to hell. I know the fact that she comments about your weight when you're having coffee, I think is inappropriate, frankly. I'm not telling you. I'm telling you to ask. the way that I'm telling you not to make stark changes about your lives personally, the way I'm telling you not to jump into diets and quick fixes because I think they're too harsh, because I think they're too violent, because I think they swing too wide. Likewise, I'm asking you, and this is about fitness, food. This is why this is I started this podcast episode by talking about how it's a philosophy. Same thing. Relationships is one of those things. So I don't want you to make stark changes with that either. But at the same time, we have to understand that the relationships in our lives affect our happiness. They're like a massive part, just like food and just like creativity and just like exercise. Relationships, they play that part. And they can be, by the way, guys, ready? A distraction from us, like a hugely a distraction, like keeping us from living our lives, like keeping us from pursuing the things that actually are going to make us happy and healthy, or they can be massively supportive. They can actually aid ourselves, aid us personally in the things that we want to do. And likewise, we can affect that for other people that we love as well. We can be supportive players in our other, and that's, again, good. Am I a good friend? I think that's a really good question to ask. Am I supportive? Am I helping them? Are they helping me? Is it a supportively, mutually beneficial kind of arrangement without using that sort of like sterile, mutually beneficial term? But are we both getting something out of this? Is it enriching my life to have this relationship? Is my life being enriched? This is as relevant a question as anything to do with food. This is why I don't just talk about food ever. I rarely do. People who don't know me assume that this is a food-based podcast. I mean, I feel that question all that. Oh, so would you like talk about recipes and protein and nutrition? It's like, yeah, no, hardly ever. Like hardly ever. I mean, I'll make fun of it now and then, like butter coffee, but I'm not going to lie. I really, it's not like a nutrition podcast. Okay. But back to this. Do we assess? And back to, by the way, the recovery process. We can use our relationships as a way to distract ourselves, but not to actually recover from the stress. We can actually use our relationships on the flip side of that to be a huge part of recovery. We can use our relationship to vent. We can use our relationships to talk about things in the way that journaling is such a huge thing for me with my clients in recommending journaling. Relationships can serve that same purpose. A give and take with somebody that we trust can really help put things into perspective for us. They can help really solidify our own goals. They can help us get to the question of or answers of who I am. You can use your relationships to get to the answers to those things. They're amazing, but they can also be very dysfunctional too. Obviously. And the other thing I wanted to point out, because I do talk about social media quite a bit in this podcast, but you have to understand that we evolved with a small tribe physically around us. Before there was telephones and even, you know, other modes of community, the coffee can and string, you know, I still use that thing. It's phenomenal. It never breaks down. I've never had a virus in my coffee can or my string. Before we had those things, we had a very small sphere of influence. We had the people in our tribe, and we had the tribal kind of model generally worked really well. There was shared experiences there. There was support there. There was protection there. There was all these things. Well, what's happened is we physically separated from our tribes. We're no longer in this kind of thing. We have to use technology to even continue to communicate with people. And by the way, I'm always advocating using technology for the good of that, texting somebody that you love if you don't have time to talk to them for a long time, keeping in communication, keeping those relationships, if they're fruitful and if they're mutually beneficial and if they enhance your life, keeping those things alive, that you don't need 45 minutes to keep those things alive. But at the same time, understand that social media is allowing us to relate more than ever before. We are out of balance in that. Now we're always relating. We are way more on that side of things than we are personal thought and just contemplation. Again, that's why, again, the video of ask the question, because we don't ask the question and we have the time, but we're relating to other people in almost every minute of free time that we have. We're relating to other people. We're going, hey, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. We're talking to other people and it's a distraction for many of us. And the joke is there's no I in team. Well, the fact of the matter is it's all about the I in team. It is about you and the way that you relate to the people in your team, not literally a team, but you know what I'm saying, in the group that supports you, that you work together for a common goal of living healthier and happier. I mean, it sort of speaks to me being on vacation with my tribe essentially right now. I mean, this is the time that I enjoy. Do I have enough of it? No, not even by a long shot. Not even by a long shot. That's a whole nother world of challenge, is how to maintain these relationships in such a weird world. Well, one of the things is to assess those relationships in all these facets. And one of the things for me personally is really questioning more and more social media in my own life. I am on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, all these kinds of things. But I really, if you notice, do them minimally. There's no judgment about it for you. I don't know your lives. For me, I realized, yeah, I guess it's a good marketing tool and I guess it should be helpful for me in my career. But there's a balance there for me because I really don't enjoy it. I'm not on Twitter tweeting all the time. I just rarely do. Because it's just for me, I realize that it has become a distraction to the work that I actually love doing, which is podcasting and YouTube videos and working with clients. And the minutes that I waste, and that's just how I see them, doing Instagram and Twitter and Facebook all the time is a waste. Strava, I'm on Strava, Sid Garza-Hillman, that I love because it is a way of relating to people, but in a fully positive way, that works for me more. It's not tweeting things, it's like giving somebody a pat on the back for getting off their butts and doing something cool. Again, it's assessment. Again, it's a long time coming. I've been tweeting and Facebooking for years, especially when my book came out. Everybody was like, you got to get on there. They were helping me set up these kinds of things. And I did it. And it took me like 2 or 3 years, really up until the last 6 months, where I thought, I'm not happy doing this. It's kind of a stress for me. I'll throw something on there once in a while if it means something to me, like I just Instagrammed yesterday on the mountain. It came to me. It was like, yeah, I want to do this. But I don't want the pressure of doing it. I don't want the pressure of, I should be doing this every 2 days. I should be doing da-da-da-da. I got to make sure I craft it in. I got to make sure I build my followers. I should be paying a bunch of money every month to have people like my Facebook page that don't really like it, but somehow I've paid money and they like it. And then I can say that I have 50,000 billion followers, but they're not really because I paid to have them. You see what I'm saying? Assessing this part of me, saying, do I want to relate on that level? And when I say, no, I don't really want to, then I say, what is it that I do want? I want to spend more time with my family. I want to be more present with my family because I have a good family life. And to me, the Facebook, Twitter thing, for me, again, you guys, for me, is a distraction from the family. It's taking time away from the relationships that are fruitful for me, that do help me do the things that I've done in my life. I never have acted in a vacuum. My wife has been supremely supportive in music and acting and all these crazy things that are totally risky and weren't comfortable at all for me or her. But without her, I probably wouldn't have done any of it. And I try to be the person for her that supports her in the things that she wants to do for the same reason. By the way, another thing that chaps my hide. Remember I said I was going to say more than one thing that chaps my hide. The happy wife, happy life. Have you ever heard that? Happy wife, happy life. I cannot, that drives me nutty. Why? Because that's just not my bag. I want to be in a relationship where it's mutually happy. I'm not going to spend my time trying to make her happy because then I'll have a happy life as long as I keep her happy. No, I want to spend time supporting her in the things that she wants to do and want her to support the things in that I want to do so that we're both freaking happy. It should be like happy husband, you know, happy husbandry. I didn't have a canned answer for that. Okay. I don't even know what husbandry is. Is that appropriate? Happy marriage, happy life. Not happy wife, happy life. Not happy husband, happy husbandry. Happy marriage, happy relationships, happy life. Is it okay to ask about the relationships in your life? Yes, not only is it okay, it's necessary. We don't have the tribes around us anymore. We're relating to people that we probably wouldn't necessarily be relating to if it weren't for social media and all these kinds of things. We get these interactions with people via social media. We'd never be in contact with these people in real life. We have to assess, is this helping me right now? is it okay to for you guys to ask, is it helping me, and not even say, is it helping them? Absolutely. Abso-frickin-lutely. Because if it's helping you and it's supportive for you and it feels good for you, then probably it's going to be the same way in exchange, because you're going to be in a better place. And what I always say is, the healthier and happier you are, the better you relate to the world that way. It's about you guys. Don't make it about anybody else. But so the joke is, there is an I in team. Absolutely. There's a bunch of I's, but your problem is not anybody else's. It's you. Your concern is you and the way that you play in that. If you want to change somebody else, affect your own behavior, become stronger in the way that you communicate the things that you want in your life, more respectful, more considerate, more direct. That's pure strength, not anger and being mean to people and criticizing people. It's saying what you want and what you value and how you want to be treated. That's a massive thing for you guys, for everybody, for me too, to talk to somebody straight up with respect and say, I want to be treated better because I'm learning how to treat myself better. But part of that is having a relationship where you treat me the way that I deserve to be treated too. But you've got to establish how much you deserve to be treated first. And that's this small step approach that I come here every week to talk about. Is you understanding how worth it you are to be taken care of when you come at your life as somebody who says in the morning, in not, you know, verbally, but you believe this deep down, I deserve to be treated well. Then you go into the world with that expectation. That's massive. You go into your marriage with the expectation of being treated well. That's a different ballgame for many of us, you guys. And that's friends and families and coworkers alike. That's your job. That's everything. But the work is long-term. The work is real. The work is about you and you alone. Okay. Before I finish, I wanted to read a quote, and I realized like I'm kind of becoming quotey, and I don't know. I'm not insensitive about it, because I don't want to be like poster quote guy. Like, you know, just go after your dreams. But once in a while, if I'm reading books, then I will come across something that I find to be relevant. And here we go. This is, again, I'm almost finished with this book. It takes me a long time to read books because, frankly, I'm a small stepper. So I read a little bit here, a little bit there, you guys. I don't not read because I can't sit down for an hour. I just read when I can. This is the Tom Robbins book I've been pouring through. Here's the quote, okay? I'll finish this week's episode with this. He writes, Sigmund Freud once wrote that wit is the denial of suffering. Meaning not that the witty, the playful among us deny that suffering exists. In varying degrees, everyone suffers. But rather that they deny suffering power over their lives, deny it prominence, use jocularity to keep it in place. Got it? I'm joking. I want to talk about it just a little. You got it? Okay, well, good luck, you guys. Wit is the denial of suffering. The reason why I read that quote today, and he made the point, it's not saying that denying suffering exists, but denying suffering the power over us, denying suffering power over our lives. One of the ways to infuse happiness and what he calls in that quote, jocularity, joy in our lives, is through the maintenance of the relationships in our lives. It is a huge source of joy because I believe we are at heart a tribal and a social animal. Having relationships that give us joy and having, by the way, more importantly, an expectation that the relationships in our lives will give us joy. Again, like I said, we have the same ideas about relationships that we do about our lives, which is they've always been this way. This is what they are. And we don't give ourselves enough power to say, yeah, that may be, but I don't want it that way anymore. And I don't want to cut this person off, but I got to change the dynamic here because it's not making me happy. Suffering has the power over my life. A small stepper's way is to say, I want joy and I want to bring this to my life in varying degrees. I want to bring this to my life in step-by-step ways over time to increase the joy in my life so that suffering does not have the power over me. And that goes for relationships too. And I know it's a touchy subject with people because, you know, again, we're used to things. It's like last week, we're comfortable even with things about us that we don't like, but we understand that. Well, relationships, that's no more, couldn't be truer with relationships. We understand the dynamics of our relationships, even the ones that don't give us joy. And part of the process of becoming healthier and happier is bringing these things into question, at least little bit by little bit, to say, you know what, I'm realizing this relationship doesn't make me happy. How can I change myself? How can I bring small steps into my own life that can make me happier in my own life, such that this relationship's dynamic will change as a result of me creating a better life for myself? All right, you guys. Thank you for joining me again. This is Sid Garza-Hillman and the Approaching the Natural podcast. I'm going to be back next week, back in my own little podcast studio, bringing it to you, probably a little mushroom coffee next week. But before I come back next week, before you guys join me again, do something good for yourselves, okay? Throw down a little steps on the old steps list. Start a steps list. Ask the question about your life. Ask the question about a relationship. Think about your relationships. Just for 2 minutes this week, throw me down a little bit of that. All right, you guys? Email me, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com, if you have any questions or comments, or just want to let me know how things are going. You know, I love those. Got a few more of those this week, and it's just awesome. Throw me an iTunes review, donate to the podcast. You know, whatever. It's exhausting. It's exhausting. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter, because you'll get one of those every 6 months. All right, you guys. You guys are doing great. Stick with me. Come back next week. And in the meantime, be well. This storm, the only way out is to run. The only way out is to buckle down. This storm, the only way out is to come on down. The only way out is to watch it pass through. Pass too much of everything. Your mystique is tied and paper thin. Tell me why this is happening. When our time is finally meaning something. This way, the way you shut down, it makes me scream. Your silence is unsettling. This storm, the only way out is the way in. I see the only way out is you out. I ask too much of everything. Your mystique is tied and paper thin. Tell me why this is happening. When our time is finally. If I ask too much of everything, your mystique is tied and paper thin.